The Mass Marauder Matinee is a fresh new venue providing original audio adventures to download and chapter-based web serials to read for free. So get your tickets and find your seat, because the curtain goes up when you push play. Today's feature, Commander Knight of Knight Incorporated.
Commander Knight and the Tlaloc Breed, Part 1. "Are you sure there's time for this, boss?" Mac asked Commander Jeffrey Knight, who shared the empty freight elevator with him. Large in stature and presence, Commander Knight stood 6 feet 6 inches tall and was as wide as a linebacker. "I mean, this storm is nothing to shake a stick at. I heard some of the tech boys upstairs calling it the Terminal Tempest, for Pete's sake. Besides, we reunited Spiegel and his daughter already. What's there left to do here? I'm not seeing a reason for Knight Incorporated's involvement."
"There's plenty left to do, Mac. The Spiegels and their research have been granted safe passage from Germany to Knight Incorporated. We owe them an explanation as to the breakdown of their security. Also, I'd hate to go on yet another assignment without knowing for sure that there isn't a leak inside the organization. Who knows how long we'll spend quelling this crazy weather and its mysterious after effects. The storm will continue to ravage the city, and the Spiegel's kidnapper's trail will have gone cold during the chaos. We'll have nothing to go on and nowhere to look for the breakdown once it's all over. If there even is a breakdown," Mac offered. The commander leaned his angular head back against the wall of the freight elevator car and instantly put himself into a light trance. He tried to teach Mac dozens of times, for a month straight once in the Australian outback, as a matter of fact, but Mac couldn't do it. Too bad too, Mac thought. The commander always came out of it looking well rested and ready for anything. Mac had never known the commander to put one man's safety ahead of what could essentially be tens of thousands, and he decided that the commander wasn't about to start doing it now. No, the commander could see or sense something about these two goons they were holding on level 15 of Knight Tower that Mac and the others couldn't see. They were connected to someone or something. They were special in some way. Whatever it was, that's what was driving the commander. Mac was sure of it. The elevator car stopped on level 15. The doors opened and the two men walked out into the barren hallway. It was strange to have a level so empty with all that was going on all over the rest of the tower right about now. Outside, the storm raged in fury as it too seemed to wait for the commander, like several people upstairs in the commander's private labs. Knight Incorporated was not in the law enforcement business. Its members and the commander were not officers of any lawful organization or municipality. Knight Incorporated provided safety and security to anyone and everyone who wished it, and they did this through two primary means. The first was through consultation and education. The members of Knight Incorporated helped make things safe and secure by first determining that they were in fact not safe and in identifying the dangers. Plans were drawn up to make them safe and secure, and education was provided on how to implement the plans and keep those involved safe and secure from then on. The second method was through well-staffed passive patrols. Knight Incorporated staffers, those that rank below a bishop, were never armed, although all staffers trained in several forms of personal defense, as well as a handful of distinct forms of martial arts mastered by the commander and adapted for Knight Incorporated. Knight Incorporated staff also taught one martial art known as karate as a part of what they offered in multiple safety and security programs. Checking his hip, Mac was grateful for the Knight 10 machine pistol holstered there. Custom made by Knight Techs, the pistol fired a variety of rounds, all of them non-lethal. Mac didn't actually have an official rank within the organization. In fact, he didn't even think he was staff, but rather a direct employee of Jeffrey Knight's. He carried a pistol. Often he carried two, his own pistol and the commander's, carried for the commander until he needed it. Mac reached the unmarked door first, turned the knob, opened it, and came face to face with two staffers who stood at attention in the small anteroom that offered little function other than leading into the interrogation room just beyond the single wall. The commander followed closely behind Mac, and the two sentries snapped to attention when they saw him. There was no salute. The commander forbade them, as they were not a military organization, but respect had been shown nonetheless. Mac himself received a nod from each man. Mac liked to think of himself as carrying an imaginary rank of sergeant-at-arms, which was much higher than sentry. He
He smiled at the thought, then turned away to hide his grin from the troops.
"Report," was all the commander said, standing at parade rest in the center of the small anteroom. A low growl emanated from beyond the wall leading into the interrogation room. The sound caused everyone to glance at the blacked-out window, the only thing in the wall other than the door. Both sentries were in crimson uniform tunics. The fair-haired man had the word Baker embroidered on his tunic chest. He gave the report after shaking off the growl.
No one has come in or gone out, Commander, just as you requested.
Have they been talking? Mac asked. The two sentries looked at one another. Baker shook his head, but the darker-haired man, his uniform not embroidered with a name, looked over at Mac.
Not exactly talking, sir, but, he stated sheepishly.
Don't be obtuse. Just tell me what's going on and be factual. The commander drew the darker-haired man's focus back to him. Another growl came from the interrogation room. They were getting louder.
They're growling at each other, sir, the dark-haired trooper motioned into the other room, beyond the wall, with a nod of his head.
See, I told you, Baker scolded. That's enough. You two report to your bishops. You'll both be needed elsewhere, and sooner rather than later, I suspect.
Yes, sir, the two men said in unison and exited the small anteroom.
Mac cupped his hands and placed them on the black window in the single inner wall of the anteroom, but he couldn't see inside. Officially, this room was built specifically for the use of police and military personnel. Knight Incorporated often worked with several different organizations of each type, and it's often easier to hold prisoners here, and even sometimes interrogate them here, rather than ship them back and forth between jurisdictions. Since the staffers at Knight Incorporated do not have arrest powers, they aren't supposed to use this room, but the commander has rules he'll bend and rules he won't. An occasional detention and interrogation was one of the rules he'd bend. In fact, Mac thought, there had been more and more of them recently.
You stay out here, Mac.
Mac went over and opened the small cabinet built seamlessly into the wall. If you didn't know to look for it, you'd never find it. Inside were the controls for the blacked-out window, a comm phone used from calling inside the building, and an intercom installed inside the interrogation room. Mac turned the dial so that he could see into the room without the inhabitants knowing he could. The black smoked glass began to fog, and the chemicals inside it were dissipating. Soon, anyone on the anti-room side would be able to see inside. No one on the interrogation room side would be able to tell. Mac then activated the intercom so that he could listen inside as well. The commander removed a ring of keys from his pocket, unlocked the door, and instantly the growling from inside increased in intensity level. Mac swung around, hoping to be able to see in the room by now, but there was little more than a shadow visible at this stage. The commander turned the knob, pushed open the door, and all hell broke loose.
Hello, my name is Kane Dorr. I'm the creator of the Masked Marauder Matinee and all of the characters and situations that are all used to tell stories there. Currently, we're featuring Commander Knight of Knight Incorporated in Commander Knight and the Tlaloc Bree. This story is completely free and can be found both in audio as well as text versions on the Masked Marauder Matinee website. In addition, you can download a digital file of the story from Smashwords in nearly any format you can think of. Again, absolutely free. I hope you enjoy your story experience as much as I enjoy telling them. If you do, then I'd encourage you to visit the website because Commander Knight and Mac star in another adventure, a longer adventure that takes place before the Tlaloc Breed, that has just been released in both digital and print formats from Pulp Empire Publishing. It's an anthology entitled Modern Pulp Heroes, and Commander Knight is only one of six similar characters to appear, including Terry Alexander's E-31 and Teal James Gordon's Deacon Fury. Modern Pulp Heroes features over half a dozen great new pulp heroes for your enjoyment. Now, I have a deal for all of my podcast fans. Simply visit the Masked Marauder Matinee webpage, click on Contact Us, a link at the top of the page, and send me a quick note about your experience with the Commander Knight audio adventure, The Tlaloc Breed, and I'll present you with a discount code for over $4 off the cover price of the printed book. That's a pretty good deal, I think. If you can't wait, you can find links to Creator Space and Amazon on both the Masked Marauder Matinee page and the Commander Knight website. So, go and get yours while the promo is still running. I can't continue to offer this deal forever, you know. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for the next chapter in our story and more audio adventures from the Masked Marauder Matinee coming soon.